I've brought you here tonight to include you in the plans that I am doing in this earth. I make my will known to you. I give my power to you, and it works in you through and through. I've created and destined you to win. You cannot fail taking hold of my hand. You cannot fail as you go forth and take the land. You cannot fail. So stand. And having done all to stand, stand on my word, and it will hold you up. It will see you through. It will sustain you and deliver you. Hallelujah. All right, you want to win some battles in life? Amen. Of course, the giving is available there in the back if you want to give. But I just want to get into the Word tonight and maybe even let you out a little early. You know, you guys made a decision tonight because you love the Word. And you're here, and God does not disappoint. Amen. He's got something just for you. So we're talking about winning the battles in life. Anybody ever face a battle? I had one just earlier today. But I'm here as a testimony of God's goodness and grace. Amen. It started off bad, but it got a whole lot better. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're talking about principles of winning. God has created and designed you to win, and you have everything that you need to be victorious. I gave you these principles last week. I'm just going to go over them real quick, and then we're going to get into where we want to go tonight. All right, these are some principles in waging a good warfare or winning the battles of life. Number one, when God gives you something, you can take it. Amen? Listen, God doesn't take it for you. You've got to be the one to take it. He gives it to you. But you got to go in and you got to take possession of what He's given you. Whether it's healing or deliverance or prosperity, you got to go in and get a hold of it. All right? Number two, to wage successful warfare, you must be in tune with God. All right? Number three, God must be your only commander in chief for every battle. And we're going to get into, we're going to touch on that tonight. I'm very excited about that. And, number four, you got to fight your battles for right reasons. What's right reasons? To win, to take land, to defeat your enemy. Number five, preparation is required for every battle you face. There is some preparation time. You know, soldiers prepare. They get their equipment ready, right? Number six, battles occur whether you want them or not, whether you want them to or not. They will occur. You will find yourself in a battle if you're not already. No one understand who your enemy is. You got to know who the enemy is. The enemy is Satan. All right? Number eight, waging successful warfare, it's going to require some things of you. Discipline. Communication with God. And number nine, when you're engaged in warfare, don't restrain the Lord. You know, there was a guy in the Bible, the king said, or the prophet said, if you strike the ground, you know, so he struck the ground. He only struck it three times. He could have kept on going to totally defeat his enemy, but he stopped. So sometimes don't restrain the Lord. Go all in. If God tells you to strike the ground, strike it until He says stop. Right? Okay. Let's get into number two now. To wage successful warfare, you must be in tune with God. How do you get in tune with God? I have some ways that will help you get in tune with God. Number one, you need to walk with Him. All right? Did you know that God wants to walk with you? Did you know that that's what He did with Adam? God would come down to the garden and He would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. God and Adam would walk through the garden and they would have conversation. They talk, and So we got to walk with God. How do we do that? 2 Corinthians 5:7, you got to walk by faith, not by sight. Right? What does it mean to walk by faith? It means that you let the Word of God govern your words, your actions, your thoughts, and everything about you. The Word of God governs, it governs your responses. Right? To walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let's just go there for a minute. Some of these we'll go to and some of these we won't. He says this. For we walk by sight, not by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Oh, yeah, what did I say? Yeah. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, sight represents our senses. How many know Thomas did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples? Because he wasn't there. So then they were gathered again, and Thomas was there, and he said, I'll believe when I can put my hands in his wounds, right? And Jesus came. Jesus let him touch him, didn't he? And then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. But Jesus made this statement. He said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. He didn't say Thomas was blessed, but he came down to Thomas's level. We've got to walk by faith, not by sight. If you want to be in tune with God, Galatians 5:16, you got to walk in the Spirit. You know that you can walk in the Spirit? The Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit. He's God's Spirit. And He is in you. When you get born again, He comes in you. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, His fire and power comes on you. And you can walk in the Spirit. All right? And when you're walking in the Spirit, that means you're not being led or dominated by your flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Did you know your flesh has some lusts? Listen, lust is not a bad word. It just means strong desire. Your flesh desires some things. Okay? And every day we have to make choices. All right? Am I going to do what my flesh wants or am I going to do what the Spirit wants? Right? How does God want to lead us? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So we got to walk by faith. We got to walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God. We got to imitate God. All right? God created you to duplicate Him. We're created in His image, in His likeness. So we've got to be imitators of God. Do we talk like God? Do we think like God? Do we act like God? Did you know that Jesus put aside His ability to act like God and He did things as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit? The disciples could have rebuked the wind and the storm and the sea just like He did. What was He doing? He was sleeping. And they woke Him up and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? That has got to be the dumbest question ever asked Jesus. I mean, no, I don't care. I just came out. I just came from heaven to earth. I left where it's all light to be in this body. Okay? I mean, he came so that we don't perish. But Jesus was asleep. And they woke him up and he said, oh, ye of little faith, how long shall I be with you? Right? They could have done what he did. But we need to imitate God. Let God be the pattern of how we live. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go over there. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We've got to walk. Listen. God has brought us up on a higher plane. Okay? He seated us with Christ in heavenly places. He's given us everything we need. And we got to walk worthy of our calling. Listen, Christ calls us to Him, and then Christ calls us to do something. Okay? And how we carry that out matters. How we represent God matters. Okay? Jesus never talked defeat. Jesus never got unnerved by the people who annoyed him. I mean, they tried to kill him several times. What did he do? He walked away. Jesus never stopped doing what God wanted him to do. Jesus never gave in to temptation. So, when we walk worthy of God, it's how we present ourselves. And then Ephesians 5:2, we got to walk in love. You know, God gives us His love. The Bible says that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. And we've got to walk in love. How does God walk in love? Does God continually bring our mistakes up to us? No, because what does love do? Love what? It covers what? A multitude of sins. I mean, Jesus had opportunities when you got disciples like Peter that is constantly doing things, speaking out and acting out, right? He cut off the guy's ear. At first he didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. But he walked in love. If you wanna wage a successful war for it, you gotta walk by faith, you gotta walk in the Spirit, you gotta walk worthy of your calling, you gotta walk in love, and you gotta walk wisely. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Okay? God gives us the spirit of wisdom. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. He gives us everything that we need to walk wisely, to walk circumspectly. Not as a fool. What do you know? What's a fool? Look in Proverbs. A fool doesn't believe in God. A fool does all kinds of things. So we walk wisely. And then we got to walk in the light. Walk in the light as He is in light. 1 John 1:7. Walk in the light. 2 John 2:6. Walk in Christ. Why did Jesus come and walk on this earth? Why did He come and live a perfect life before us? Any ideas? So that we could follow His example. So that we could do what He did. Jesus said to His disciples, the works that I do, you should do also, right? He has equipped us and called us to do the work that He does. This is how we're going to get in tune with God. Anytime the Bible talks about a walk, it's talking about how you live. All right? So we got to walk with Him. Then we got to follow Him. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what does He want us to do with those things? Do it. and the God of peace shall be with you. Everyone in here has committed to follow Christ. All right? Jesus went to his disciples. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They stopped what they were doing, and they just followed him. If you want to be in tune with God, you got to follow him. Notice the position of the follower is not ahead of the leader. It's always better to be slow to catch up than out ahead of God. Right? We're supposed to follow him. Okay? Let me just give you these quickly. Okay, we need to follow him. Philippians 4:9. You need to follow his voice. John 10:4. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and they will not follow a stranger. You want to be in tune with God? Recognize his voice. Know when he speaks, because there's a lot of voices in this world. Our bodies have a voice. People have a voice. Different things have a voice. Sometimes our stomach has a voice. Right? But we got to follow his voice. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Oh, I thought this was going to be easy. No, sometimes following God means you got to deny yourself. When yourself wants to do something and God wants you to do something, something's going to have to be denied. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's in Matthew 16, 24. If you want to be in tune with God, you got to submit to him. James 4, 6. Submit to God and resist the devil. Did you know that you cannot resist the devil unless you're submitted to God? When you're not submitted to God, the devil is attracted to you. He said, James 4:6 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you don't submit to God, then the devil's not going to flee from you. He's going to flee to you. Because he is in agreement with those who aren't submitted to God. What does it mean to submit? Come under his will. Come under his leadership. Come under his protection. Do things his way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to what? Death. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have rule over you. Obey the leaders. John gave the greatest example. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is the greatest example of submission. Look at verse 30. He must increase, I must decrease. Notice he's got to increase in your life first in order so that you can decrease. That's the greatest example of submission. They were giving John a hard time. They were saying, hey, look, Jesus is baptizing more people than you. The devil was trying to provoke John to get into pride. But John said, no, I've just come here to be a forerunner. He totally submitted to God. He must increase. I must decrease. Let God be magnified in you more than anything else. Some people want to magnify their pain. Some people want to magnify their sorrow. I saw something the other day. Something happened to a person, and there was not one praise to God, even though bad things happened. But the person was spared. There was no acknowledgement of God. He must increase. Listen, we've got to let Jesus Christ increase in our life. He's got to have the first place in our life. He's got to be proven, I want to say primero uno. First place, okay? That means His work takes precedent over your work. If God wants you to pray and you want to vacuum the floor, you better pray. Oh no, but I can't stand it. Listen, you can stand a dirty floor while you pray. Listen, that prayer might save someone's life. God becomes more, His agenda becomes more important than anything that we could ever do or put together. Another thing we need to do if we want to be in tune with God, we need to yield to Him. When you come to a yield sign and someone is coming, you got a yield sign and someone is coming, what do? You give way. All right? What does it mean to yield God? When God is coming with an instruction or an order or a command, we give way to whatever we were doing and we let His command take precedence. The opposite of being yielded to God is being stiff-necked. God described people as stiff-necked who refuse to obey Him, who refuse to relinquish control. If we want to be in tune with God, we need to learn from Him. Matthew 11, 29, "Come to me, all those who are heavy laden with burden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you got a heavy burden, I don't think that the Lord gave it to you. We need to learn of Him. When Jesus was at Lazarus' house, Mary sat at His feet. What was she doing? She was learning. Now, there was things that needed to be done. There was people that were hungry that needed to be fed. But Jesus said she chose the better part. Listen, you can never go wrong learning about God. Because we were designed to increase in our knowledge of God. We've got to learn the Bible. We've got to memorize the Bible. Not the whole Bible, but you know, you should memorize verses. Right? If you don't memorize it, you might be in a place where the devil's attacking you without a Bible. What are you going to say to him when he attacks if you don't have anything memorized? Did we memorize our times tables? Did we memorize the alphabet? Do we memorize phone numbers? Well, maybe not anymore with smartphones, but there was a time when we had to memorize phones, didn't we? So don't tell me that you cannot memorize Scripture. We need to memorize Scripture. Why? God speaks in the language of His Word. The more you're in tune with His Word, the more you're in tune with Him. Okay? If you want to be in tune with God, you got to inquire of Him. You got to seek His guidance. Take time to inquire. Okay, God, what would you have me do? Oftentimes before David went into battle, he would ask the Lord, you know, should I get involved with this and will I win? Yes, get involved, you will win. Okay, that's all. But see, he took the time to inquire before he went into battle. And if you don't take the time to inquire, you might miss how God wants it done. Okay? Seek the Lord. Stand still and get His will. Numbers 9:8. Stand still and get His will. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that the Lord is God." I'll give you a testimony. I was flying in from New Zealand into Chattanooga, and I got an earlier flight than expected, okay, because it was good because I wanted to go home. Now, my parents were staying in Cleveland, Tennessee, and when I went to Lee University, my father and I, we stayed at this hotel. Okay, so I'm flying into Chattanooga, and I like to read my Bible when I'm on the plane, and I open the Bible to Psalms 46:10 and it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." I thought, okay, that's interesting. All right, God. So I get to the airport. I called the hotel that my dad and I stayed at. much to my surprise, they weren't there. They had checked out. They didn't tell me where they were going. I'm like, okay. I talked to a cab driver. He said it would cost $40 to get from Chattanooga to Cleveland, where I wanted to go. And he was the last cab. There wasn't anybody else. I mean, no, I had to be still and know that God is God. What that meant was I had to not let myself fear or worry. I mean, no, God has a way of working things out. Just don't worry about it. Relax and trust God. So I made a few more phone calls, and then I called another place, and I got a hold of my parents, and they came and picked me up. But it could have caused some anxiety. God prepared me. He gave me that scripture ahead of time. You know, when a scripture comes to your mind, you need to use it. You don't blame it on the pizza you had last night. It's God talking to you. You're going to have to use what it's saying. But you need to inquire of God. Then you need to obey Him. If you want to draw near to God, you need to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We find that out from Saul, 1 Samuel 15:22. Joshua, he studied the word so that he could observe to do. Joshua 1:8. He studied it to observe to do. All right? We got to walk in His commands. I mean, God doesn't give us the commands to hang on a shelf. Right? They are applicable to your life. Sometimes they'll save your life. All right? We need to listen. If you want to draw near to God, you need to listen to Him. How many has ever read Revelations where He was talking about the churches? At the end, He always says, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Do you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying? How should we listen? We should listen daily. Proverbs 8:34. Listen daily at my gates. Daily. Listen. We ought to do twice as much listening as we do speaking. Unless you're a preacher. No, just kidding. Why? We got two ears and one mouth. Bible says be swift to hear and slow to speak. Are we listening? Listening is not just hearing, but listening is getting the message that He's telling us. If you don't get the message, you haven't listened. Okay? It's possible for our hearing to become dull. Do you know that every one of us has a conscience? But the more we don't listen to that conscience, the harder it is to hear it when it speaks. And pretty soon, eventually, you'll have a seared conscience. When your conscience cannot tell you what's right or wrong anymore, and you kind of lose sight of what's right or wrong. And if you want to... So these are some things that we need to do to be in tune with God. Walk with Him, follow Him, submit to Him, yield to Him, inquire of Him, obey Him, listen to Him. Okay? Now, number three, I got really excited about this because the Lord is cool. And when He puts something together, it is good. Okay, number three, God must be your only commander in chief for every battle. Why is that? See, your fight is based in His word, okay? The word is your weapons. The word is your defense. Every piece of armor is the word. Okay? It's based on His promises. It's carried out by His strength. It's carried out with His power, and we follow His strategy. Okay? Why should God be the only commander-in-chief? Number one, His intelligence network is second to none. He is all-knowing. He's got an intelligence network that's better than has ever been conceived on earth. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is why you need to let God be the only commander in chief. Not your feelings, not your experience, not the opinions of others. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God knows you. He knows you better than anybody. You know my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. Wow. You compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything we do, everything we think, and everything we say. Everything. That'll help straighten your life up. Verse 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have been behind me and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. So God knows. Go to Psalm 147. This is powerful. Right here, Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. In other words, his understanding has no limit. The reason that God should be your only commander-in-chief is because of the knowledge that he possesses. He knows the end before the beginning. His riches are unsearchable. That means he's so rich you could never discover it, the bottom of it. He is so chock full of good things. He is much better than the center of a Tootsie Pop. You'll never get to the bottom of how good God is. He is so good. Ephesians 1:4, he chose us before the creation of the world. He chose you before this world was ever created. He chose you. Think about that. He chose you. Say, he chose me. He had you in mind long before you were ever here. He knew what he wanted you to do. He knew why he brought you forth. Before the creation of the world. That's powerful. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. God knows it all. Okay? Another reason why you should make God your only commander-in-chief in battles is he knows what's in the heart of man. We don't know what's in a person's heart, but he does. How many times would Jesus answer the thoughts of the Pharisees' heart? They would think this thought in their heart, and Jesus would respond. Why? Because he knows the hearts of men. He knows when they're lying. He knows when they're not. He knows the hearts of men. Jesus often addressed what's in the hearts of men. Luke 2:35, Jesus reveals the thoughts in the hearts of men. This is why he should be our only commander-in-chief. He's the only one to give the order, go or stay. He's the only one that should tell us where to set up camp. He's the only one that should tell us where to go. Elijah, I want you to go over to the brook. There I'm going to have provision for you. What if Elijah was in a different place? He wouldn't get the provision. How many know you got to be where God wants you to be? If God told you to be somewhere and you're not, the longer you wait, the more it's going to hurt you. First Corinthians 4:5, the Lord reveals the counsels of hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, God tests the hearts. God will ask you to do something just so that he could see what's in your heart. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. Okay, here I am. Here he is, Lord. Oh, don't do it, Abraham, because now I know what's in your heart. Why does God make us go through the action? Because he wants us to see if we really believe what we believe or not. You know, faith is action. Okay? Another reason that you should make the Lord the only commander-in-chief in battles, he knows the end before the beginning. He knows how it's going to work out. And if you're looking somewhere else for advice, you're not going to have that knowledge. Before you show up, he knows how it's going to turn out. Another reason God should be your only commander-in-chief in battles, his communication network is the best. It's the Holy Spirit network. God's Spirit, John 4:14-18, God's Spirit will abide in you forever. John 14:26, he will teach you all things and remind you what God said to you, Holy Spirit. You know, being reminded of stuff is good. God reminded his people of stuff all the time. We should never get tired of hearing God's word. Never take the attitude like, when you hear a scripture, John 3:16, oh yeah, I know that. No, you don't. You say that like you've gotten to the depth, you've explored that scripture to the depths. Why don't you just say, oh yeah, that's good. Give me some more. His communication network is the best. John 15:28, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. He'll never speak anything bad about him. He testifies of him. John 16:13-15, what the Holy Spirit hears from God, he speaks to you. He never speaks anything else other than what he hears from God. Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip. He actually spoke to Philip and said, go join yourself with a chariot. Acts 10:19, the Spirit said to Peter when he was on the rooftop after the vision. And then Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Another reason why you should make God your only commander-in-chief is his perspective is the best. He sees all. The Bible often talks about doing what is right in his sight. Did you know that God looks at everything that we do? And because he looks at it, he judges whether or not it's right or wrong. Only he can judge. But some people did evil in his sight. Other people did good in his sight. Okay? His perspective is the best. He sees all. Hebrews 13:21. God works in you what is pleasing in his sight. If you want to know how to please God, he'll actually work it in you. He'll show you. Did you know that you can ask God what pleases him? He'll tell you. This pleases me. That doesn't please me. He tells us. And then another reason why you should make God your only. I'm emphasizing only because sometimes we want to bring other opinions in. Sometimes people use their experience. Okay, they're facing an enemy that they faced before. And sometimes the thought is, well, I'll just do what I did before so I can get the victory. No. That tells me that you're in charge and God is not. He may want to do it a different way. So you got to keep listening. You can't stop listening to what he's saying. Okay? Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and I'm almost done. I have just three more scriptures that'll get you really excited. Okay? 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing where? Did you know that what we do in pleasing God will affect how we receive from Him? Okay? And then here's the greatest reason why you should have God only be your commander in chief in battles. He's never lost. He has never lost a battle. His track record is proven. Genesis 14:20, it says, He delivered His enemies into your hands. God can actually deliver your enemies into your hands. That's when Abraham defeated the armies with 318. God delivered the enemies into His hand. That's why it happened. It was supernatural. Exodus 14:14, the Lord fights for you. That's exciting. 2 Chronicles 20:20, you don't have to. Remember, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. All you got to do is show up. Now that takes faith. Because sometimes you want to do more than just showing up. Exodus 15:3, it says, the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is His name. That word war means it's the sense of fighting a battle, engagement, warfare. It means to consume, to devour, to fight, to overcome, and to prevail. The reason you should have God as your only commander-in-chief is He's never lost. And He never will lose. I mean, He already whooped the devil. With one flick of His finger, He kicked him out of heaven. Exodus 23:27, it says, God will send His fear before you to confuse your enemies. Better your enemies get confused than you. Amen? 1 Samuel 30:23-25, God gave them the victory. This is where Ziklag, David came back and Ziklag was burned. And David had no one to encourage himself. You ever been in a place where no one would encourage you? So what did David do? He encouraged himself. If no one encourages you, you can encourage yourself. Tell yourself, get up. Get up, pal. Tell your flesh, get up. Get going. Get moving. David, the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord because his mighty men were wanting to stone him. So some people were too tired to fight. So they stayed by the stuff while the others who weren't so tired to go and fight. Because David said, will I pursue and shall I overtake? He said, you will pursue, you will overtake and recover all. So David inquired of the Lord. He said, okay, we're ready to go. So the men who weren't tired, they went. But the men who stayed by the stuff, they got the same reward as the men who fought the battle. And that became a precedent in Israel. How many know you need some people to stay by the stuff? And you need some people to fight, but they got the same reward. God has divine strategy, and God will maintain your cause. So let's make God our commander-in-chief. All He wants us to do is say, yes, sir, reporting for duty. Be ready to do what God wants you to do, go where He wants you to go, and be what He wants you to be. Be a warrior. Be a fighter. Not a quitter. Not a whiny baby. You can read the book of Numbers and think how God, you know. Why don't you stand up? I don't care what you're facing. Right now, God wants you to get the victory. He wants to instill His victory into you. He wants to infuse He's put within you dunamis. All right? And the Holy Ghost is the fuse. And God's Word lights the fuse. And you know, you've seen it. The fuse is lit. And then when it gets to the point, go boom! God wants to explode some victory in some of you tonight. Amen? So if you need an explosive breakthrough, you're in the right place tonight. If you need a touch from heaven, you're in the right place tonight. If you need to be strengthened, you're in the right place tonight. God will strengthen you. God will help you. So let's, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for your word. May you continue to reveal to us, Lord, about your word in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you for a fresh touch right now, a new and fresh anointing to be given to us in the name of Jesus, to not only stand and fight, but to win and be victorious and to claim our victory and to get what's ours in the name of Jesus. God wants to instill within you a winning attitude. And your attitude really does determine your altitude. You want to go higher? Then have an attitude that goes higher. I mean, if you need a touch from God, I want you just to come up right now. It's going to be quick. Amen? I believe in a quickening. A quickening. Hallelujah. I want you to stir yourself up in the name of Jesus. There's no challenge that you could ever face that you cannot get.
You crush the enemy underneath my feet.
You got to believe you're a winner.
You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still.